Mishnah of Asar Yochsin doesn't mention Kutim.
Exactly.
Implying, I think that the pashtus in most Mishnayos, I gave you a selection of Mishnayos, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that most of the Mishnayos hold, with the exception of Rabbi Lazar, in that next Mishnah, that Kutim are Jewish, but there are problems with them. Yeah.
Kutim wouldn't be mentioned Asar Yochsin because they didn't go to Baba.
Yeah.
Okay, but the Mishnah doesn't still... That's a lousy raya in that you expect the Mishnah to talk about them. But it seems... In other words, most Mishnayos throughout Shas... I mean, I don't know. I guess none of them are about marriage. Most of them treat the Kutim as Jewish. Right? The notion that they're not Jewish is a big chiddush. So it's only when you get to Rabbi Lazar in that Mishnah who says that Elohim, you know, a Sveikos, Shtuki, and a Sufi or something, and then Rabbi Lazar says... Kusi lo yisakutis, because they're both sveikos. That's what the Mishnah. Other than that, there's no indication in the Mishnah that you can't marry kuti.
Not kutim, were just the other people, like well, tzedukim.
That's the baisusim. So let's wait till we get to that. Let's just deal with this for now, okay? So we were up to the Ravid, and I think the Ravid sheet is identical. The Meir sheet are identical. I don't see any difference. One of you raised that question with me. Who is going to read for me? I have a short memory for who has read. Sam, have you read yet?
No.
Okay. So, Rav Avraham ben Rav David Zal. Go ahead.
Rav David Zal appears to be here. Utana Asura Rakha. I go to Fishaya Mithilatan be Gerovich Rishon to Gerarai.
Okay, so Gerusan Asura Nakasav, which is, which Lashon of Rava? Which Lashon of Rava is that? The Lashon Basra, the second Lashon, which presumably that sugya seems to hold like. Okay, so that solves the problem of that sugya, and it explains all the Mishnayos. But what about the later sugya that implies that they would go there chasnus, the simple reading? So he says, so they would go there that we don't accept them. And this is a very interesting formulation. The kabo mehem gerim la'olam. What does that mean? There are two ways of reading that. The one I don't want to read it, but the word samwa that way, and then the way I do want to read because I think that's what they must be. Yes, Alex?
Either that we don't allow them to convert.
Yeah.
Or that having converted, we don't allow them to marry.
Right. Now, which one would I prefer to read it as, even though it doesn't sound like that?
The second one.
Right, in other words, the words literally sound like that you don't do the gerus. So what if somebody went ahead and did the gerus? So then the gerus might very well be chal, huh?
Well, why it doesn't mean both? Like you just said.
I would say the imnis gairu adayana surim bakahal. In other words, it's a strange... I mean, you could be...
I'm asking,
okay.
Is his intention... It is possible.
Yeah, okay. I just would have expected, given what we're trying to do, it's just right. I'm not sure why they would have made the gzeira not to allow them to do a proper conversion to be really more fully Jewish. I understand why they would have chosen not to let them marry into the kol, but why not formulate it that way? All right, it might be. So mikol makom. What does that mean?
They're still like gerer, right? Because they
can't convert. No. Mikol makom staman kitchila sanhein. Zach?
Maybe it meant like we assume each one is like the original conversion.
Why is he saying that? For most of them, which would then solve the problems of the Mishnayos. In other words, he would acknowledge that if someone went ahead and was Megayer them, the Isser is now only the Rabbanon. But, Mikomachon, Staman, Ketchilasenhein. there's a reason why this line is crucial, because the Ramban is going to quote a fourth shita, which we mentioned, the one he likes, the one that the Rashba quotes, the Ritva quotes, which are very, very difficult because, we'll see in a moment, but that's why I think this line is emet. Mikom akom staman ketchilasam hemet. That basically, Nassim did not reconvert. If they reconverted, they would only be in a Siddur Rabbanon. And David and Yeshua's Gzera was not to allow them to either reconvert, or even if they can reconverted, not to allow them to marry into the Kahal. Fine. Continue. Vim Tomar. So further question is, Imkein lama yeshlem kanas, so what's the kasha?
Because they're not even Jewish.
Right. Right now we're saying that that their geirus, if the geirus is really geirei rayos, so then they're not even Jewish. Why do they get a kanas? So he says, that's not a question, because uli tameich. And everybody agrees, but one of the major possible concerns with the kutis is geirei rayos. And that's for right now. Ella, what does that mean? What is he's quoting something? What's he quoting? Yitzi? The Gemara in Yevamos says that kulam gerim him, which is what we're going to talk about that when we deal with Kuti. But he says they really are gerim. Ba'kasav asaran. The Torah prohibited Geirus B'Shas Kibush. That's actually a very significant observation. Why? Lefi Now, one of the interesting things is that we don't... I've finished. But Im Chazru No, but Im Chazru B'Kibul Otan Beis Din. I know your eyes get back. In other words, but if they reconverted, it would be only the Rabbanon. Well, Mishum the Tanan. Okay. Fine. So you can tell that from the formulation of the Mishnah. Ein lam takana means they'll never be mutter. Obviously, it was exer under no circumstances. Mishum hachi. Now, this is a really interesting. So the Ravid here, and again, sort of betraying, demonstrating, or the sheet of Chachmei Provence is astounding. Right? The claim is, see, here's the catch. That Gemara in Yevamos, it's a totally novel way to read the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, Mishnah in Yevamos, we're going to see it in a little bit, but I may as well explain a little bit. The Mishnah in Yevamos states the following. If someone is nita on a shifcha, and she is freed, in other words, the room is running around, he's fooling around with the shifcha kananis, or with a goya, and then she's converted. So the halacha is that he's not allowed to marry her. But if he did, we don't force him to divorce her. And why is he not allowed to marry her? So the principle that many, 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 many people seem to forget in life is Haser mimcha ikshus peh ulzus farsayim harchet mimeka. You're not supposed to behave in a fashion that's going to make you look suspicious. So if the man, if the rumors have been floating around that he's been sleeping with this non-Jewish woman, and now he goes and marries her after she converts, what's the result going to be? Rumors confirmed. So therefore the Mishnah says you're not allowed to marry. There is a discussion in Acharon on what if it's Beferish. Everybody knows he was sleeping with her. It's not a suffix. There are those Acharon who say therefore maybe it's okay. Now, because it's not being Mechasek Delasa Sosayim. Everybody knows it's true. It's already established. What's that? This is a very, very interesting din. It's a din that is no longer observed. It's not a modern din, a modern breach. It's a medieval breach, at least already. Because the Rambam already writes, it was a big problem in Egypt. The men would sleep with their shvachos, And so the choice was either they freed them and let them marry them, or they wouldn't free them and they wouldn't marry them. They just continued to sleep with them. So basically, along the lines of Avera Lishma, they allowed them. The Rambam already says this. It's in the Tshuvos. It's not in the Mishnah Torah. They allowed them to marry them against the din of the Mishnah, which raises its own complications. Not for a shifcha who's freed, but for I don't know if they were technically shvachas. It might have even been geirus. Probably was geirus in the Rambam's context. It raises interesting questions. How can you do geirus on this woman if you know that she's going to violate a din immediately? If you don't accept for someone as a geir who doesn't accept to do all the mitzvahs, and you know she's about to go and live with this guy, which is a violation of the din of the Mishnah, how do you allow such a thing? No, okay, that's the easier part sometimes to deal with in geirus. But anyway, that's what the din was stated here. So there's also a din, which is that you're not allowed to convert shelo lishma. We're not. The issue is not on the guy. The issue is on the base in converting someone who's converting for an ulterior motive. So the Gemara says, b'di'eved, but the geirus is good. Halacha kulam geirim him. So the problem is that geiri arayus is listed in there. So, since the pashtus in the Gemara is that geiri arayus are not real geirim, the way most Rishonim read, what do they do with that brisa that says, halacha kulam geirim him? So I'm already spilling to you what's coming in the next sugya, but one approach in Rishonim is to say, oh, there are two different kinds of geirei arayos. There are geirei arayos who convert out of fear, but they convert properly. They're converting for an ulterior motive. Some men convert because there's a Jewish girl they're interested in, and some men convert because someone puts a gun to them and said, you want to become Jewish? And you say, right, of course I do. And you go through with it, and you become Jewish. But the geirei arayos that they're talking about are the kutim, were geirim who, despite their conversion, continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So, ipso facto, the geirus was no good. Mitchilasa, it was no good.
Is that how we're asking? If we do a proper conversion with someone, and we find out that they really didn't have any intention to follow mitzvahs, and they're not, can we say that they're not Jewish?
Very, 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 very complicated. Not simple. Not simple. I know the claim has been made by, you know, certain the Rabbanut along those lines, not so pashut. And if you want to know why it's not so pashut, see, if there was no Kabbalah HaMitzvos, then based upon the Shulchan Aruch, you could argue it's not a good geiris bechlal. It doesn't matter if they did observe the mitzvahs. But if they did a proper procedural conversion, so you should take a look at the Rambam's treatment of the wives of Shimshon and the wives of Shlomo. And the pashtus in the Rambam's reading is that even though it's clear in retrospect that they never abandoned their idolatry, they still technically are converted. And you should keep your distance from them. You know, Achi is Bara Lacham Tzidkusam. What? I don't know. Well, the Kutim are irrelevant, Halacha L'maisa. Rambam probably says nothing. You know why the Kutim are irrelevant? No, they did exist. The Samaritans certainly exist in the Rambam's time. They still exist. Why the Kutim irrelevant, Halacha L'maisa, what their status is? What? No. That wouldn't mean the Rambam wouldn't codify it. It's because the Asayim could go in Gemurim, the Chodavrem, the Gemara in Chulim, which is on the Makaris, you will get to see. I don't understand the story. The story is something that it cannot possibly have been the case. Because it says, Matsulahem, you know, Demosiona, you know, Bahagrizim, and decided that they were Odeh with the Zara, which is, which doesn't make any sense. In other words, Samaritans, they might have many Chasronis, but they're not Odeh with the Zara. Right? They are monotheists. Right, they do have the same Torah as us, except for slightly edited. You know, Makom Asher Bachar instead of Makom Asher Yichar, and so on. And they, you know, they edited their Torah. You can
see, our reason as opposed to
your right. You can see, yeah, well, because it was already chosen. Correct.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why they what?
Why can't you just say that was then and then afterward they became more monotheist or whatever?
They became
more
I think as far as we, the Samaritan Pentateuch long predates Rabbi Meir and the Gzeira of that generation at the end of the Mishnah. It seems highly unlikely that I'm not telling you.
The Pentateuch said that or whatever. The
monotheists
doesn't mean that at the time when they were living around, lots of
Not in Baisheni, in Bais it might have been true. It seems highly likely already 100 plus years after the Churban that they were worshiping Avodah Zarah.
In the Margarine times, they put up like Avodah Zarah in their
when?
In the Rockabian time.
Firstly, did they put that up under duress from the... Yes. Okay, number one. Number two, that's 350 years earlier.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's all. That's not... Listen, that's Avodah Zarah Ba'onis. We would say that a Jew who does that also has not worshipped Avodah Zarah. Okay. You're not allowed to. Tzeher Gvel Yavor. It just seems, again... I don't know if Chazal deliberately obscured why they wanted to do it, but they would go, whatever the reason is, they would go Zar Leim Leskagarim Chol Devarim. I accept that Xer was so, but there seems, there's something, Devarim are stumim, because it doesn't, the story literally doesn't make sense.
I guess I just don't know the history law.
I'm not a Bucky in history, but if you realize, if you know a little bit of the Samaritans, it seems highly unlikely that in the year 200 or 150 that they were worshiping the Zohar. I mean, I'm sure there might have been somebody, maybe somewhere, who worshiped the Zohar, but that would seem odd to make Xerah because it would have been. I mean, the Gemara says Chayshin Lemiuta, Rabbi Meir, but we paskin that way even though we don't hold like Rabbi Meir Chayshin Lemiuta, and yeah, it was even not even Miuta, it was Miuta the Miuta. It was like it wouldn't have been anything normal amongst the Samaritans. Anyway, whatever. Bottom line, the din is the din. I don't really care if the Gemara was deliberately, whether I'm wrong historically or whether the Gemara was deliberately being so same the real reason, but they were gozer aleim to treat them kagoyim gomer l'chol devarim. That's what the Gemara is going to say. So I haven't checked, but whoever's asking about the Rambam and the Kutam, I suspect the Rambam is not going to discuss the matter because other than to say the Kutam are goyim. Okay, but in the time of the Mishnah, still, they weren't. Now, the Mishnahis talk about clearly, kutim are different than ode kochavim. We'll see that when we get there. Okay, I've said enough on that, except that my point is the Ravid has this idea that there's a category of Geri Arayos who are Gerim. So the Ravid's response, and he's quoting that Gemara Yevamos, is that no, not to say like Tosos that there are two kinds of Geri Arayos. The Geri Arayos of the Sugin Yevamos who are Gerim with the Evan, and the Geri Arayos of the Kutim who are not Gerim. No, the Ravid says, it's Hainuha, that there is Gerus. They're Kulam Gerim, except that they're in the, some of them at least, are in this in-between status. Geri Arayos are not Goyim anymore. Meaning, if a Geri Arayos were Goyim, then if you ask the Shaila, can they eat Nevela meat and Basa Bahala, what would you say? Yes. If, however, they are Gerim, but they're in the category of Los Ischatein Bam, because the Torah doesn't like their Gerus, it recognizes it, but it discriminates against it. So then, they are Gerim in Daraisa, but they are also Lava Bakohol, because there's Los Ischatein Bam. So then, you don't have to deal with the stira between Ger Arayos. In other words, the Gemara in Kiddushin that assumes that Ger Arayos are Asurin Lava Bakohol, not because they're not Jewish, but in a sense, because they're not sufficiently Jewish. But they are Jewish. So if they would undergo another conversion, then they would be permitted by Kahom and HaTorah. In the case of the Nesinim, specifically, they were the Chachamim, David, Yeshua, were Gozer Aleihem, not to let them marry in the cult, even if they did a second Gerus. But the incredible novelty of this Ravid, is that you now have this quasi, this twilight status of Gerus that we're not used to thinking of. We're used to thinking of Gerus as being quantum. And now, there is a state in between. Yes, David?
I'm just curious, though. Since this is like a nation that's like way before we had like the same formalized sort of Gerus. Like
don't
like
ask those questions.
Okay. Not to say, like, because the Gemara says the Kibzmana Zeh. So, like, I'm curious
it's,
how they would...
Look, I think it's very, very clear a couple of things. Firstly, your question is going to... It gets undermined by the fact that in Ezra's time already, the Nesinim seem to be a separate group, and they seem not to be considered amongst the Miuchasim, number one. Number two, even in the biblical period, it seems that the Nesinim are a separate group. Right? David's, the Navi says, V'hagivonim lo v'mnei Yisrael hema. So, apipshuta shel mikra, they lived in Eretz Canaan, but they were a socially separate group. So, you may talk about whether Chazal are formalizing categories for their Isser, but it's not imaginative. In other words, it's not simply projecting back. There is already clearly, whether it's because of formalistic considerations or not, I don't know. But it's not like something Chazal generate.
It's something that Chazal are describing, at the
worst case scenario describing.
With the Kutim, or others who may have converted in a different way, or may keep mitzvot differently in the first place, would Chazal try to project? Because the Gemara, that sounds to me like they're projecting. The Gemara
Yevamot,
or maybe I misread it.
The Gemara
Yevamot. That Elgin actually garbled Bizmanazet. Bizmanazet, Salkadaja, and Ema Kibizmanazet.
Right.
So I'm saying, that sounds to me like they're projecting. And I'm mentioning this because of the middle status of Geirim.
Well, no, kibizman, no, there in the kibizman hazeh means with no ulterior motivations. In other words, today when it's not good to be a Jew. So it's clear, it's clear that they converted under duress. Because the lions were eating them.
That's what it means, though? Like,
yes, that's the whole point. They didn't convert. The Tosis would say they adopted syncretistic worship because the lions were eating them. Now, why the lions didn't stop eating them after they adopted syncretistic worship? Why they stopped eating them, I don't know. But syncretism is also prohibited. Syncretism means worshiping God and other ones. Yes.
For non-Jews also, you mean?
Yes.
Are
you just trying to start a discussion here? I'm not being dragged off topic. Not now. Not now. The first thing, it's a Tosos and it's a misreading of Tosos. Some of the Achronim misread Tosos. It's clear it's not what Tosos says. What the Ramah says is a separate discussion. Even the Ramah is what to discuss.
Okay.
Not for now. Not for now. What?
No, I know it's not for now, but we were reading the Dot Mikra and the Malachim.
Yeah.
And it quoted that opinion about Hashitav may not be also for...
I know. It's totally... It's a machlokas achrona how to read Tosas, and it's clear one side is wrong. The Tosas never said... No, I mean, it's very clear that the term Shituf doesn't mean syncretistic worship. It means Shituf b'shvua.
What do you mean it's clear? To the achronim, honestly, it wasn't so clear.
Because the Gemara... Well, apparently, because... The Gemara never uses that term, and the context in which Tosaf cites it is on the Gemara about Shvua. So I am willing to say that one group of Achronim is undoubtedly correct. The other one is strained. I don't think you have to be afraid of saying that. Right? You know, I think it's very, very clear. There is no such... It is both theologically problematic. Even the Me'iri, by the way. The Me'iri Shita is not the famous Me'iri Shita. If it's clear that he actually said what he said, you know, what Halbertar claims, which is certainly probably the simplest reading of the... It's a very plausible reading of the Me'iri. And the Me'iri doesn't talk about Sheet, that he held that the Christians were really not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's what Halbertar said. That's his reading of the Me'iri. Many have not read the Me'iri that way. But the Me'iri just said that they don't treat them like Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mean that Christianity theologically is not Avodah Zarah. The Me'iri seems to go beyond that. But the bottom line is, even he doesn't use that term Sheetov. So, anyway... Od Chazal Namoed, how's that? Okay? Fine. If I were only me against those Achronim, yeah, we won them. But there are Gedolei Achronim who read Tosis in the way that I think it's absolutely clear. Okay, so anyway, so that's why the Ravid Shita, anyway, is such a novelty. In other words, this is this liminal state between Gius, whatever you want to call it, and Geirus Gemura, in which they're Jewish, and the Me'iri, I think, makes this clearer. So now, yes, Yitzi.
I was just wondering if such a liminal state could be said to exist for a man who has done, like, he's, you know, gone into the mikvah, but not...
I mean...
In the process, would the writer perhaps assume that's a good example of one?
So I'll tell you why I don't think that's possible. So I don't want to say it's absolutely out of the question. There might be some discussion about that, but I'm trying to remember where, about how do you teach the Goy certain things. I don't remember. It may be discussed. The postures in the Gemara is not so. Firstly, the normal procedure is to do Mila then Tefila, and the Gemara says that the reason why you do the Mila first is because in case he wants to be Chozer Bo, he has a chance to be Chozer Bo after experiencing the Mila, which means before he goes to the Mila, you know, before he goes to the mikvah, excuse me, after the milah, he has a choice right then to say, you know what, I think not. But he's a guy gomer.
Is there a parallel for that? Why, when we do milah on a child, we kind of assume he's not getting
the
bris?
No, a Jewish child born is a Yisrael gomer. He could be an RL, but his kedushas Yisrael is 100%. If he's an RL, b'mezid or b'shveones, so he can't eat from truma, whatever the ramifications are, but he's Yisrael gomer. The Mila does not make a child Jewish. The only Mila that might make a child Jewish is the Ramban Shita on a non-Jewish woman who converted while pregnant. And the Ramban brings a Raya, I think, that you can do Mila after Tvila from that case. He assumes that the Mila on the Rahanimo is actually the Mila of Gerus. But I don't think we usually assume that way. They reject the Raya, and we probably don't even assume that Mila is really the Mila of Gerus. It's probably the Mila of a Jewish child. But that's up to discuss. Okay, so anyway, the Me'iri writes, is my intrepid reader, and I cannot remember. Sam. Go ahead. Vanasinim. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's read the end of the Ramban, the fourth sheet, which I mentioned. I want to talk about why it's difficult, what the problem is. Got Lashon Acher. The Ramban likes it. All right, so that really is almost the equivalent of what? It's a slightly modified version of A, of N, of A. Mitzri and Adomi. A Mitzri and Adomi, first generation can't marry, that converts can't marry to the Gahal. Second generation can't marry to the Gahal. Third generation are Ksherim Bakahal. So by Anasin, so first generation Aser Bakahal, second generation Mutter. Fine. Not such a big deal. So, and the Rabban says, Umuta Usharein lo nemar bahem doros. Velo. It doesn't say Le'avon Lohem Bekal Hashem Ad Olam. It doesn't say Gam Dorasiri, which it says both by Mamzer and by Amon Moav. Ad Olam is only by Amon Moav. And therefore, V'David Gazer Aleihem. So stop for a moment. There is one difficult problem the Ramban is about to address. What's the problem which the Ravid deflected nicely? See, here again, I made this observation, I think, maybe last week. When you read a Rishon, and you read a series of kashas against the Shita, and then Tosfos presents a different approach, you have to go back and check how each of the questions is solved by that particular answer. It's easy to forget that, because sometimes there's a problem with one of them. In this particular case, there were a few problems with Rashi Shita, but one of them was that the major one was that the Mishnah in Makos says Nasin Umamzer, several Sugyos say Nasin Umamzer that are Daraisa. So, in theory, the Ramban has solved the problem because you can have a Nasin that's Daraisa, namely Darisham. But now, what is the obvious question that jumps off the page at you? Are all those Mishnais are talking about something that was only Lemaisa 2,000 or 1,500 or 1,200 years before? Right? Eluhen Alokin. When the Mishnah was written, nobody could ever get Malkus for being a Nasin. Is that true? Did were the seven nations gone by the time of the Mishnah? What's that? No, that was Binyamin Ger Mitzri. Because Sancheros was Mavalbel almost all the Umos. Now,
but don't we say that about Mitzri?
No, well, that was why they told. Well, okay, so that's correct. But so it, certainly, if there's no Mitzri, certainly there's no Canaanite. But Mitzri might have. Mitzri. So firstly, Sancheros. No, okay, that was. I don't remember when Maskan of the Gemara. Of course, the problem is that he wasn't Mavalbel Mitzrayim. He never conquered Egypt.
Yeah.
Neither really did Nebuchadnezzar. He got closer. But. But putting that issue aside, did the Canaanites survive at all? The answer is yes. I don't know how much we know about it. I will tell you the following. Chazal know of certain Canaanite traditions that you find in the Agadah. Some of you know this from Intro to Bible. Look in Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Dalet. Some of those interesting Agadahs there betray a knowledge of Canaanite mythology. There are terms that survive, like Stebes HaBaal, which is undoubtedly a term that relates back to the god Baal, the rain god. And the question is, how much of those survived strictly by oral tradition, and how much Chazal still have some contacts with people who preserve Canaanite culture? Now, I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. I do know that by the time Bayashedi comes along, certainly by the Maccabean period, I don't think that there's any Canaanite culture that has survived. Whatever has now become Greek pagan culture. But I do know that there is some Canaanite culture north of Eretz Yisrael in Lebanon. If you remember just studying Tanakh, one of the centers outside of Eretz Yisrael of Canaanite culture was Tzor and Sidon. Why? Because that's what comes from there. The Baal worship. Right? Baal is one of the major gods of in the Canaanite pantheon. Baal is the god of fertility. He's the rain god connected. And so I believe that one of the Greco-Roman authors, I don't remember how late, Philo Biblos, it might even be first century, but I could be wrong, provides us with a lot of information about Canaanite culture. So it has survived down a pretty long way. That all said, I don't think that there were any Canaanites in the time of Chazal that they would have encountered. They would have formulated the Mishnah that way for those Canaanites, yes.
When we say Canaanites, don't we mean the Canaanites, like, sort of the puzzle of, like, Eretz Yisrael? Not really.
I think, I suspect, firstly, I'm not suggesting that we have any terror. No, I think the people of Ugarit certainly were Canaanites, who, firstly, they're inside the boundaries of full Eretz Yisrael. The south, probably, of the Euphrates River. I'd have no reason to assume that they didn't have the din. When you look the way they're described in Tanakh, I suspect that the Tzidonim all have the status of Canaanites. They're not listed separately as one of the nations, but I suspect they have the din of Canaanim. That's what I would guess. And they are in the full broad boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Right? I mean, Nahar Mitzrayim, Nahar Gol, Nahar Paras. So they weren't in the territories, perhaps in Maaseh, I think. I don't think those go up to Paras. But nonetheless, they might have the din of Canaanites if they then came and converted, you know, according to this. But with all that fanciful speculation, I don't think that Chazal knew of Canaanites, to the best of my knowledge. And if that's the case, you have to say that all those Mishnayos, Eluhin Alokin, would mean, in theory, if we had been around 1,200 years earlier.
Okay, I assume that if a Canaanite were to have come, they would have followed the same principles, they would have been in Ammoni camp.
Why?
Isn't it?
You mean they would have said that Sancheir is Mavabal the Umas?
Something like that.
Oh, fine. I would agree that is certainly plausible.
Even when a guy came and identified as an Ammoni.
I understand. So certainly, but I would say certainly. Even without that, I don't think Chazal were thinking about Canaanites. So it's very strange the Mishnah should say that you're local in the Sina, but it means 1,200 years ago you would have. Okay, so the Ramban he's aware of that question. He's about to answer it. You may not find it persuasive, but he's aware of the question. Yetzi?
Is it really so strange in light of Ben Sora Mora or Aaron Idaha?
Ben Sora Mora was always a theoretical construct. The Sina were not a theoretical construct. They were not a theoretical construct, number one. They happened. Number two, they persist down into the Bayesheni period. At certain time of Ezra, they still know who the Nesinim are. They're listed as a separate. They're listed amongst the Jews in Ezra's Yochsen, but they're listed in the Nesinim. Okay. So the Ramban continues to respond to that question.
The Chomakom Shoshaninu.
Okay. So every place where it says Nosin, meaning in the context that sounds like it's the Raisa, Yesh b'mashmei gerisha min ha'umas, halal l'shem tzgayim. It means refers to first generation.
From the Shiva
Hamlet, simply? Yes, yeah. Not in the Sinai. Well, the Fichach. Okay. Okay, v'hadam rina and l'kaman. Right, so there, he's going to say like Avadim. There you can already say like Rashi, so it fits with the rest of the sugya. David was Gaza. Moshe wasn't Kuntim and Gozer Aleim Chasnos. Why? Because they were also in Torah in Moshe's generation. But the answer is, it's nonetheless, he made them be Avadim. He forced to sort of adopt the Rabbeinu Tam like posture there. Hilkach. In subsequent generations. Parik, and then the Gemara says. So Moshe was Gozer for that generation, which was Aser Min HaTorah. He was Gozer that they should be work as servants for the Jews, so they won't assimilate, or because of their cruelty. The Aser Yoshua. And they made that takana, the prohibition, let's say, of even marrying them, to be forever. Yes, it's.
What makes the Ramban prefer this answer over the others?
So Rashi, you have the problem because it's against the maskan of Rava. Rabbeinu Tam is against the Yerushalmi of having Yoshua be Gozer Chasnos. And against good Yoshua Michasnas. The Ravid Shita is highly novel. I have to say, if you asked me, I think Rashi is probably the closest to Pshat. And that's the Rambam's interpretation. And the one that's most interesting is the Ravid Shita. I like the Ravid Shita. Yes.
What is he doing with the Gemara in Kedushin?
Huh? I'll say like Rabbeinu Tam. So if he doesn't, does he even address that pasuk? Does he address that issue? That's not what he attacks him over, right? He rejects Rabbeinu Tam's shita because of the Yerushalmi. And the best you can say is that, the Bavli argues on it. But he gets to say, yeah, the Yerushalmi is right. It was a gzeir of chastamas, but there is an issur d'oraisa as well. So in theory, so it solves all your mishnayos. But, and the rest all fits together, right? So you have to be willing to say those mishnayos are only referring to a nas and darishon, which doesn't exist, didn't exist for a very, very long time. Sam, you were going to say something?
Yeah, when you say like fits well with most pshat, you mean also harmonizes all the Gemara as well, or
I think does that best. And you have to reject the Lishna Basra Rabba.
Wouldn't the right? Oh, but like you have to reject the Lishna Basra Rabba, which means the not be pshat in that Gemara.
So you have to, so you know, but you say it's machlokas hasugyos. That's okay.
So it's not about harmonizing the Gemara.
No, correct, correct.
But if you want to harmonize the Gemara the best, then it will be the right.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. But you have to just buy into such an unbelievably novel yesod, right? The idea that you can have twilight of Gevurah, Minat Torah. That's the yes.
This is a more general question about how to balance different makorot. Let's say for Rashi, you know, he has the Yerushalmi and that reading of Kedushin, but he is in the end coming down. I guess for Ram also, they're coming down against that open
sugya, where you have okay, but the Gemara 9 Ches Amud really sounds is almost befeverish like Rashi, right? In other words, that's the point. The Mishnah is talking about psule kahal, you know, nesinim asurim v'isur nisar olam, and then the Gemara says nesinim David gazar alehim.
But then it does seem like that Gemara kind of switches over this by the end.
Okay, but the whole thing doesn't make sense if you don't start with chasnos. You have the finagle with the latter part of it, but the early part of that it's just almost it's like Min HaNimna. Not impossibly Rabbi Nutan there, but all the other sugyos seem to work like the Lishna Kam of Rava. Okay. The Beis HaBechira, thank you, Sam. Okay. I don't know. Benny.
והם בני הגיבונים שנתגיירו דרך שיפר וישירו ולא להחזיק גם בגירים גמורים ולעניין חסנס אלא שהם חייבים בתרייג מצווס.
Okay, so he says לא להחזיק גם בגירים גמורים לעניין חסנס אלא שהם חייבים בתרייג מצווס. As this is a question you could ask generally, in other words, what dinim, you know, what for what is the gairus count? And the answer is it seems that the gairus counts for everything except for chasnos. And that's a big but they're chayiv in tarayag mitzvos. They're chayiv in tarayag mitzvos. And as really the gairus is good, but they're not allowed to marry into the kal. V'husha amru. So now he's accomplished this great principle. It's Minat Torah. And this is the Rabbi Chi, then it's going to solve a bunch of problems. V'husha amra ala b'gmara.
Mamzeres u'nesina ike b'nayhu, l'mad amra ruya l'kaima, ha'anami ena ruya, v'hebiya min amikra. V'lomar v'lo siya l'isha, isha ha'ruya l'kaima.
So what is the Mi'iri saying in this lines? The Gemara in Amud Beis, right here, is going to say that the difference between Mamzeres and Asina Ikebenaya, between Ruya the Kaima and what was the expression? The Has Kiddushin. Yesh Lahavaya or something like that. So the Gemara says Mamzeres and Asina Ikebenayu. And they bring a raya for this concept. In other words, it's from Velosi Elisha. Velosi Elisha teaches you that this Knas, even when, there is, not according to them, I take back, that these two Tanaim are arguing when there's no Knas. There's that arguing on the Mishnah, and they're saying when she is either not ru'uya for him or there's no kisas kiddushin with him, there is no knas. How are they getting this? From a pasuk. So So they're getting this from a pasuk, and the Gemara suggests that nafkamina between two lashonos is mamzeres and nesika. Nesina. In other words, if you believe that there's no kenas whenever there's an iser bia, when it's in a really kaima, then even mamzeres and nesina, there's no kenas. If you believe that it's only when there's no havaya, when there's no tvisas kiddushin, so by mamzer and nesina, there is tvisas kiddushin. And it's all this machlokus is based upon how to read the pasuk lo se'elisha. So if it's based upon a reading of a pasuk, then it must be daraisa. It can't be fake. Can't be an asmachta. So that's what he says. It must be really daraisa. Can't be a pretend daraisa. V'chein. To be a almanas isa, which was a chumra the kohanim had, and that shouldn't have been machmir, but they did anyway, and the chachamim couldn't talk them out of their craziness. There's no chance the kohanim would listen. It's a mishnah in the eighth parak of Adios. So the Gemara says that to be almanas isa can't be a suffix of mamzeris, it can't be a suffix of nesinus. It has to be a different kind of suffix. So v'hikshu. So the Gemara says, why are these different? Why? Because they're daraisa. I think the Gemara that says halalis, so halalis is also daraisa. The point is, the Torah, the Gemara explicitly labels nesinus and mamzeris as daraisa. Okay. V'chein, v'perek hamadir. They don't listen to us in the mams here because they're only listening to the rabbanans there. V'chein. Okay, so he wants to demonstrate that there are some of the raisa, and that is that dafka bigay rusa. Okay. And so now he says, so he says that once they would convert, so then they are mutter min haTorah. The Efshar. So stop for the moment. Okay, so basically, if you look earlier, he wanted to actually read. It's not clear how he wanted to read David Gazar Alam earlier. Shema Nishkakach V'chaza David Arichakon. It sounds like that's an Issa Daraisa that Yeshua enforced, and David, people forgot about it, so David reinforced that Issa Daraisa. But now he said it's possible that the Gazar of David is not to reinforce the Issa Daraisa, but actually it was the Xer Ladoris that even after they convert, which by the way means for the first Shita in the Meiri, the way he presented it, what would the Din be, Mati?
You'd be allowed to.
If they did a reconversion in the Sinim, you'd be allowed. There would be no Isser at all. Now he's turning around and saying, no, you know what, actually, that's probably what David might have been gozer. It might be what David was gozer. Ba'aleilu sh'niskayru amru yivamos mentesam et beis. That's a mistake. It's not mentesam et beis. It's ayin tesam et beis. Shebimei Rebbe. One second. No, that's the Yimei's last point. So that's the way you want to explain the Gemara. They want it to be Matir, that Isser, Jer Darbanan, and Rebbe said, for whatever reason, you can't. And then he says, V'ein Tzarech Lomar Be'elu. So what does he say in this last line? Correct, because if they did a second conversion, for sure it's only the Siddur Abanan. If Mamzeris is okay, certainly Sina. But even those who didn't do a second conversion, and therefore Minat Torah, they are Asurim as Nesinim, the mission applies there as well. And you don't have to worry about which Kasha.
The Mishnah, like that's called Deredo.
No, well that, but what is he dealing in the last part? What don't you have to worry about? The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph that says that you would give her a Knas and she's going to be Yusa, continue to eat it. So you don't give a kenas to a goy. The answer is yeah, but the even the derais and the sinim are not goyim.
Okay.
because they're chayiv entire mitzvahs, they're Jewish, but they're psulei kahal. They're not allowed to be baba kahal. Zach.
Well, according to the Shita, what's the difference between prusim and nesinim?
Excellent question. So the first question is, what are kutim? There are two or three shitas in the Gemara what the status of kutim are.
But there for sure people who converted.
I'm gonna finish.
There are for sure people who converted and we accept them as converts but not level of God. Exactly who they are and their circumstances.
That may be for a totally different reason, having nothing to do with being Gerei Arayos, because they may not be Gerei Arayos.
But in terms of their din, they're saying they should have the same status. They are converts who we accept as converts.
I'll tell you that's not true. A ger can marry a nesina. A ger can marry a kutis.
Well, my question
beyond
is, if they're the same, then why are they dinim so different?
If they're, no, so the question is, that would depend upon, that totally depends upon whether or not, why kutim are psulim. I don't blame you guys. More than one of you has been trying to draw the link between them. I think the most interesting position is Rashi's position, Akutim on the Mishnah, which we're about to discuss, not this moment, but tomorrow probably. Why? Why is it so interesting? What? Yeah, so the question is, the Tosas jumps up and screams, what are you talking about? The Gerei Arayos, the Goyim, why would you give a Knas? What's the answer for Rashi? Correct. Kulam gerim him. The only question is, what does that mean? Does Rashi assume that Gemara means literally we reject the idea of Gerei Arayos being not, they're perfectly valid in the Torah? Or does he adopt a shita like the Ravid? He has no way of knowing. Right? What Rashi's clearly not doing is adopting Tosas or Shita. Because Tosas claims there are two kinds of Gerei Arayos. There's the Gerei Arayos who convert out of fear but actually do a proper, but worship properly, and then there are the Kutim who are Gerei Arayos who continue to engage in syncretistic worship, and therefore they're not Jewish bichlal if they are Gerei Arayos. If we say that about them, Daniel, not sure. Yitzi,
I'm just very confused because in one line he seems to say that they converted in the time of Yeshua, and then he continues on to say that it was usher from the Torah.
Asur and Torah, yes. They converted the first time in the time of Yeshua, and the Torah doesn't recognize that Geirus. As a full fledged Geirus.
So it was like a preemptive halacha, like the Gibonim were going to.
No, losis chaten bam. People who convert, since the Torah knew, they were going in with the goal of wiping out the Canaanites, it wasn't hard to anticipate there were people who'd want to convert, so you don't kill them once they do that, but losis chaten bam. It's not crazy.
So, the Torah was coming, I guess, reclude that. The Canaanim in general and the Gibonim, I guess, took up the opportunity to fall into that.
Well, the Gibonim were Canaanim.
No, I'm saying
they were Chivi, technically. They were among the seven nations, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, again, in Pshuta Shemikra, they didn't convert, but, you know, they made a peace treaty, so the Jews couldn't kill them, and they could make them work for the pay tribute to the Mikdash, but it doesn't sound like they actually converted. But okay, Daniel.
Kuti can just be Megayer and then not be a Kuti anymore, correct? No. But not so far in the Kuti Makoro sheet, so.
If you believe a Kuti is Vada Gerei Arayos and it's not Jewish, then yeah. But not so simple. I don't know what Poskim write. See, I know that. What do you mean they know of Samaritans? They exist. They address the issue of Karayim. You know what they say about the Karayim?
This is Rishon, you're saying.
What does he say about Karayim?
Does Rabbi say that you can marry them?
No. No, that's the Ethiopians. Not the Karayim. Nobody says you marry the Karayim. They say what all the poskim say about the Karayim. Anybody the Hilchos Avelos here? Ha Karayim ain't a misachim. That's it. An unbelievable pun. There are kriyos, when a person tears kriya over a parent, the rabba muvak over Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to do a perfect sewing job on that baguette. Kuro'im, with an ayin, enam misachim. Okay, that's what the term means. But they darshan, they use it, the karo'im, enam misachim. They don't become brothers. Unbelievable. You have to know something to understand the line, but you have to only a little bit. If you know Chasavelis, you understand, appreciate that line. And even someone who was very makel on Geirus, Rav Uziel, writes that as Davar Pasha. I think they were concerned about Mamzerus and things like that, so they basically wouldn't allow any kind of marriage with the Karaim because they're all Safik Mamzerim or something like that.
Can we say that also about Samaritans or not?
So that's what I want. That's what I'm asking the question. I don't know what the post can write about. If they made him like Goyim Gemurim, what if they want to convert now? I just have no idea. Yes?
Aren't there sources in the Middle Ages of Karaim marrying?
Early on, you have Karite. You remember your medieval Jewish history, so for post Pesach, about the Karite rabbinic subas in which she doesn't have to have hot food on Shabbos or whatever else. But at a certain point, the communities grew apart, and there was a feeling that. So, yes, in the earlier period, there were still some intermarriage between, intermarriage between Karaites and rabbinites, but at a certain point, the decision was that they were all suffering psulim. So I don't know when exactly that was, but that's what contemporary posts can write.
Did Rav Sadio have something to do with that? Or
no, I'm sure it's more recent, because in the Rambam's time, you still have it. You have something to add to what I just said? Yeah.
I have something here that I don't have further source of this, but in 1971, apparently, Rav Ovadia wrote that Karaim are Jews l'chol davar. And that's permissible for rabbinic Jews to marry them.
Really?
I need to find further sources, but that's what it looks like.
Okay, so I get maybe he may have been an outlier in that, but I don't think that's okay. So you're correct, Yaakov, but I don't think that's the position that's accepted. I could be wrong. I mean, nobody's ever come to me with the Shaila, but yet. But,
nowadays, it's Karaites to marry Jews, no? There are
Karaites. There are Karaites, but I don't think they're.
So what do they do?
If they marry Jews, they're probably Jews who are intermarrying, not Jews who care.
There's not enough of them to just marry each other, I don't think.
I don't know if that's true.
How many are there?
I don't know numbers. There's a Karaite community in San Francisco. I think they're like a modern Orthodox version of Karaites. There are only three. What?
More like conservative.
Conservative version. I don't know exactly. There are three groups of Jews who still, three groups of people who still keep the laws of Nida. Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Karaites, and Zoroastrians.
Samaritans.
What?
And Samaritans.
Okay, I don't know what the Samaritans hold exactly.
They have like the different roots thing.
Oh, they still have the original one. Okay, yeah, that's the Fabrenta Hilchos Nida. You know, the one that Chazal rejected. That famous Ramban in Kiderach Nashim Li. You know, where he writes, he quotes this sefer, and someone on the bottom of the note, Chevelle quotes someone who said, had the Ramban known the origin, actual origin, where the sefer was from, he might not have quoted this stuff or something like that. So anyway, all right. So we'll deal with the Samaritans next. No Karaites, though. No Karaites. Yes, Matthew.
According to the Meiri, so he has no information about anything about Abbas or whatever. So what is Rebbe's response against permitting them?
He does actually. There's one line thrown in there somewhere. What did he say? Gazar Leim Shibut or something? I thought he had a line in there. Or was that the Rav who used that line? Or not. But I think that if everybody has to read the end of that sugya, you almost don't have a choice that there is an element of avdus in play. Because even Rashi, let's say, Rashi, if it comes around the sugya, has to somehow manage a transition from chasnos to avdus.
Isn't Rashi especially?
No, but Rashi sees the entire sugya is chasnos. Even if the mechanism in the Gzera was to make them avodim, so when he gets to the others could also say that as well. In other words, the Ravid and the Meiri who say that there is an Issa Drabanan once they do a reconversion could say they wanted to undo that Gzera by undoing the Avdus. But you can, whatever you're going to do for Rashi, you could do for them as well. Yes, Dan.
Just to add to that, I mean, clearly they're reading the same sukkah. There was Shodrim Mayim and Chodbi. There was something that happened.
Right, but you can't deny the element of Avdus there. That's for sure. Okay, fine. All right, I'm not going to start the next set of Marmikos. We'll start it tomorrow.
Will we do a summary?
tomorrow?
Let's do a summary first thing tomorrow. Okay. I think that's a good thing. Let's plan to do that. Okay, so we'll stop now. You get a few minutes of questions if you would like. I see.